This is OSLCC Chapter 25, Tracing Our Roots, celebrating 25 years of cultural centers. Broncos, some near, some far, but no matter where you are, we're speaking to you and we hope you're listening. And you never know, we might even be engaging with you real soon.
Mija, my name is Wildflower Ontiveros. I'm a Gabrieleño and a descendant of the people of Uchiminga. I'm the daughter of Joseph Ontiveros and Lydia Robles and granddaughter of Ramona Padilla, a descendant of Maria Rufina Ailam, daughter of Arla. Hi everyone. So I'm a senior at Cal Poly Pomona. I'm majoring in English education. I'm also a student justice leader at the Native American Student Center. As a land-grant institution, we pay our respects to the ancestors, elders, and relatives, past, present, and emerging. The Native students, staff, and faculty at Cal Poly Pomona acknowledge the original inhabitants of this land to be the people of Toipinga, also Gabrielinos and sometimes referred to as Tongva. Toipinga is the name of the original village that existed here in the location of Cal Poly Pomona for thousands of years before the arrival of the newcomers. I would like to recognize the tangible evidence of continued occupation and the continued existence of the descendants. We are still here. The hope.
Hello, everyone. This is Gretchen Potter, she, her, hers. I'm Tonawanda Seneca, which is one of the six nations of the Iroquois, and I am the coordinator of the Native American Student Center at Cal Poly Pomona. We are here today to talk about land acknowledgement with Dr. Sandy Dixon. Dr. Dixon is the current chair of the Department of Ethnic and Women's Studies at Cal Poly.
Loma, new Sandy Kiwanaptewa Dixon, new Hopitu, new Imongkopi, new Dawawa, and new So'o. My name is Sandy Kiwanaptewa Dixon. I am from the Hopi Nation. I'm from the village of Imongkopi, and I am Sun Clan. And my pronouns are she, her, and her.
Wildflower started us off with a land acknowledgement. Wildflower, would you give us a brief explanation of what these are?
Yeah, of course, Gretchen. So formal land acknowledgements have become really common in the openings of meetings and different events. The basic purpose of these statements is to recognize and honor Indigenous peoples as the traditional stewards of the land that we're on. And often this land is unceded territory. So these statements offer recognition and respect to Indigenous peoples on the land, on whose land we're on, but they also work to counteract the false narrative that we're gone. That's specifically why we say things like, we're still here. We have been here, we are still here, we're continuing to be here. That's why we emphasize the past, present, and the future in these statements. Dr. Dixon, would you like to talk more about what land acknowledgement is to you?
Thank you, Wildflower. Yes, it's really, really does and exactly what you said. It is a formal statement that is being used across the U.S. And so we are part of those people that understand the importance and recognize and respect the Indigenous and Native peoples as the traditional stewards of this land. The enduring relationship that has existed between Native peoples and their traditional lands is so important. It is an act of reconciliation as well that makes a statement recognizing the traditional land of the Native people who have called and still call the land home before and after the arrival of the settlers. But, you know, why do we recognize? Another really good reason in recognizing the land is the acknowledgement of the Indigenous or Native lands ultimately provides exposure and a learning opportunity for individuals who may have never heard the names of the tribes that have and continue to live and learn from the land they are standing on. So Cal Poly Pomona resides on the lands of the Gabrieleño Tongva people, or the Tovongar. And this covers the Los Angeles area basin and also the South Channel Islands.
It's interesting that you bring up that it's a way to think about situate yourself in history and where we are, and the CSUs are land-grant universities. Historically, the CSUs, like many other land-grant institutions all over the United States, beginning in 1862, were given land to sell, to raise funds, or to establish and endow land-grant colleges. Many of these land-grant colleges, formed from the gift of over 17 million acres of land, became the public universities we have today. What is especially interesting is that this land was that was given to these institutions was land that was mostly taken, often forcibly, from Native American nations. This history seems especially relevant for the CSUs and Cal Poly to consider when thinking about these land acknowledgments. In 2019, the California Faculty Association presented a resolution on land acknowledgments and recognition to the chancellor and trustees to ask the Board of Trustees to accept the resolution, which would make the CSU the largest public university system in the United States to implement a system-wide land acknowledgement recognition policy if they do accept it. Dr. Dixon, can you please tell us about the process it took for the California Faculty Association to propose this resolution on land acknowledgement to the chancellor and trustees of the CSU?
So the California Faculty Association had seen that there was a lot of questions coming up across the CSU system, and knowing that the process of doing land acknowledgements, many CSUs across the California wanted to go ahead and begin this process. So CFA, in working with many faculty and staff, did a proposal resolution. In proposing that right now, and actually it's great that we're talking about this now, because the process itself, once somebody recognizes and wants to provide a resolution, it just doesn't happen overnight. When it's usually presented, there's what we call a first and second reading. And the first reading is the actual presentation of a resolution. And in that resolution, it has very specific statements, historical, about the people, about the land, and very specific information in that. And then it describes the purpose of it. In doing so, one of the things that we found, and as in doing this, is we need to make sure that anytime that there's a resolution that has to do with our people, that we are part of that process. And so CFA recognized, and even here at Cal Poly, when a resolution was being brought out, that there was no consultations with Native American. And it's just not us as Native people on the campus, but there needed to be some connections with the local tribal people. And so looking at that process, we discovered that it was still important to go ahead. And before there was a second reading, that we go ahead and make sure that there has been consultation with faculty and staff, and especially the students, and then the surrounding community. We know historically, one of the things we always need to do is make sure that they remember, if they're going to be talking about us, that we need to be part of that conversation. And so with that respect, they did go ahead, and it hasn't been fully approved yet. And it is being looked at again at the CFA, the CSU-wide level.
So Dr. Dixon, you're working here at Cal Poly Pomona to adopt a resolution about land acknowledgements. Can you please tell us about that process?
So one of the things that we do need to do, and what's great about having the Native American Cultural Center, is it's a good time now for all of us to get together and review the land acknowledgements that we use. There's some very specific things that we would like to do and share with other people. Because a lot of times people will ask, well, how do we do this? Is the person giving the acknowledgement should be the host of the event or meeting themselves? Who do they call upon to go ahead and ask to do the land acknowledgement? And so through this process, we started developing some guidelines, and I met with some students and we came up with a few guidelines. One of those specific guidelines is that we should always give the opportunity for a member of the Gaborone Tongva tribal people to go ahead and do that. And Wildflower, you are from that community. And so it's very important that you are given that opportunity. If you are not available, then I think the next step would be for a California Indian. And we do have other California tribes represented here by students. And then again, the next step may be to go ahead and ask another Native American who may not be California Indian. In looking at this process, it allows us to really make sure that we're also showing our campus that we are here. We are visible and we should be a part of this. And so that moving into looking at the resolution, accompany the resolution should be these guidelines. And then these guidelines then are made available for the people on the campus to really look at it. And at that point, Gretchen and I from the NAMRECA Student Center, we would have a list if anybody could call her office and say, do you have somebody that could do this? Then we have a list and able to give those names.
So Dr. Dixon, what about people who don't have access to a student or a faculty or staff member who is Native or is California Native or is Tongva? What should they do then?
Well, we still would like to see that Atlantic knowledge is given at any major event on the campus. And so if none of the Native people are available, yes, please consider doing the land acknowledgement. Look at the land acknowledgement that we use. You can ask for a copy from the NAMRECA Student Center or myself in the Ethnic and Women's Studies, and we can provide that for you. But we encourage that the group can collectively even have a member of their group that's put on to do a collective group read aloud together, or if that's possible, or for have an individual that does understand and understands the allyship that comes along with giving the land acknowledgement. This includes the formal thank you to the host nation whenever making a presentation or when we're holding the meeting. And this is whether or not Indigenous or Native individuals are part of the meeting. Or it's always good that if you do not know the name of the nation on whose land you are on, the California Indian Native American Student Center or myself from the Ethical Women's Studies can help you. What's also important is that we can help you provide the pronunciation, because the pronunciation is very important. The main idea is to be able to be respectful and practice saying the names out loud.
So I know at the Native American Student Center, we've been thinking about land acknowledgements a lot. We get requests for them and we do them at our meetings. And we've been thinking about how a land acknowledgement is or maybe should not be simply a rote recitation. Instead, maybe this should be a process that involves deeper reflection and intention before beginning your gathering. So it's not just simply a reminder that Indigenous peoples exist and have existed, or that the country has a history of colonialism and that many of us are guests here. So we want it to be something more intentional and deeper. So I wanted to share a brief story that's been circulating on social media about a water bottle. After a land acknowledgement, an instructor took one of his students' water bottles and he walked back up to the front of his class. He then acknowledged that it was their water bottle. And in the spirit of reconciliation, he felt it important to acknowledge that it was their water bottle, since he believed that recognition would help heal them all from his behavior. So then he placed the water bottle on his desk and his students looked at him kind of askew, and he asked them what was wrong. The students said that he should give the person their water bottle back. So the instructor asked, are these words not enough? Are these words of acknowledgement without the actions of reconciliation or the return of stolen property, for example, are they enough? So in telling the water bottle story, I was thinking about when you and I had discussed reciprocity and allyship as kind of a further action beyond land acknowledgement. So with that, I want to ask you, Dr. Dixon, can you please tell us what it would mean to go beyond land acknowledgement?
Allyship is really important. A lot of times people would like to know, they understand the history of our people. They understand the trauma and the colonization and the settler colonialism is associated with what has happened to our people and the taking of the way of the land. And in doing so, many people come and say, you know, what can I do? What is it that I can do as a non-Native person? And one of the things that we always tell people is, you know, it's important that you may not be Native, but we would love to have you be our ally. It is so important today when we start talking about allies, because we need to continually be involved and learn about each other. Allyship is a continuous process. It is also not a label that we can give oneself, but one that you earn for your actions and the commitments that we do. We want to be able to have people to stand in solidarity with us by respecting American Indian, Native American nations. That can be done by moving beyond the land acknowledgement. And it's okay to ask difficult questions. You know, how can you be in a balanced relationship with American Indian nations and citizens with the ecology around you. We don't want to have poor allyships. We want to have strong ones where we're able to share information, have courageous conversations. We would like allies to be continually engaged in self-reflection and look at how we consistently work at being an ally. Working together, it's a collaboration, and it definitely shows respect to the Native people that are on our campus, to the Native communities around us, and especially to those that Cal Poly sits on, and that is the Tongva Gapra Llano people.
Acknowledgement as a gesture could become more meaningful when coupled with a deeper, authentic relationship and informed action.
Absolutely. And remember, a lot of times being a good ally does not mean you have to be us to support us. In other words, intentionally identifying as a Native American without any connections is also not appropriate, or it's not recommended. Sometimes we'll see that because they want to connect with us so well, but we recognize you as becoming an ally. And this is something that it's a great way for our students and for faculty to continually to learn about the history of our people and the history of the Tongva people and their leaders and the great amount of work that they had to do to still be able to be in existence. To remember that they are still here. Oftentimes we are referred to as the invisible people, but we are still here. And they still have their communities and their clans, and whether they're identified as clans or bands or reservations or rancherias, all of these people are still in existence. And so being able to recognize that over time, that means a lot to me as an individual. If I run into somebody and they say, oh, I'm familiar with the Tongva, the CPB sits on Tongva land, or I'm familiar with the local, you know, local 12 tribes that are around here, the Kawiyas, the Lasenos. It really makes you feel proud that I see that people are taking the time to learn about who we are, that we're no longer in the past, that we are here, we are visible, and our students are here. We have lots of students here on the campus. Gretchen is a member of a tribe. I am a member of a tribe, and we are here. And we are not invisible. We are, and today, I'm very glad that we have this opportunity to be able to show that we are here and we want to be a part, just as every other group here is on campus. So I think this is a very important step that you're taking today.
Thank you. So what do you believe is the legacy of the cultural centers here at Cal Poly Pomona?
The Native American Student Center, the Cultural Center, has such an important legacy. It has been in existence for a very long time. It's so important to the students and to the faculty and the staff because it is a place for us together. Is it a place for us to be? It is a place for us to come together for events, for learning, and to see each other. One of the things that I love doing is going over to the cultural center during my busy schedule and just being able to feel that I can drop by and say hi. And I love it when the students that I'm familiar with over there, they greet me with such a warm welcome. Then we were able to give hugs. We can't give hugs right now. It's a warm family feeling. And that is the legacy of the cultural center. We often have people that are not Native American that feel comfortable coming there. And they have now become allies because they feel comfortable in coming there. That is a very strong legacy of the Native American Student Center, is that people feel welcome and they want to be there. And that they participate in the events and the activities that are planned by the Native American students. And so that legacy needs to continue. The one way that people can support the Native Americans the Native American Student Center, besides being an ally, is contributions. There are so many things that we could do across the campus and other communities to come in, is to make contributions, whether it's sharing, whether it's donations in the monetary, but also being able to give and being very visible. Come and be a part of the Native American Student Center. That legacy will continue on. Because we have had such good coordinators come in there and show that this is a place that is welcome to all people.
And Wafa, I was going to ask you the same thing. What do you think the legacy of the cultural centers is, or what do they mean to you?
So I think speaking as like a whole across the board in all the cultural centers, I would definitely say from the students' perspective, they're home on campus. They're home when you're not with your relatives, when you're away from things that are familiar. I think the cultural centers are a really big reason why a lot of us have so much success in higher education. It's a foundation for us. It's a community that we can lean on. Most specifically, I mean, I can only speak from being, you know, an Indigenous student, and that's what my perspective is going into this. But I know that the cultural center, the Native American Student Center, has really helped me across my whole college career. A lot of the times, you know, I go to classes, I'm stressed, I come back to the center, I get greeted, you know, I vent about my professors or class or whatever it may be. And to see the reflection in my grades, to be put on, you know, dean's list, honors list, to get, you know, good grades, I know that my success, I have to give credit to the Native American Student Center, especially being in higher education. This is an institution that was not made for us. This institution was not made for us to succeed. So we do the best that we can by creating these centers, creating these spaces, creating these, you know, second homes for us in order for us to, you know, do well and succeed. And we want to succeed, but we also want to, you know, bring in future generations and new students into the campus and also be there to support them as well.
We are out of time. Thank you both for being here today to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Cultural Center.
Oh, should we say bye?